This show is a production of LifeSpring Media and is brought to you in part by gifts from listeners like you. Hello, and here we are again. This is the LifeSpring Family Bible, episode number 144. I'm Steve Webb, your host, and today we're going to be reading 1 Kings chapters 2 through 4. Let's begin. First Kings chapter 2. When David was close to death, he told Solomon his son, "I am about to die. Be strong and become a man. Do the job the Lord your God has assigned you by following his instructions and obeying his rules, commandments, regulations, and laws as written in the law of Moses. Then you will succeed in all you do and seek to accomplish, and the Lord will fulfill his promise to me. If your descendants watch their step and live faithfully in my presence with all their heart and being, then he promised, you will not fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. You know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he murdered two commanders of the Israelite armies, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. During peacetime, he struck them down like he would in battle. When he shed their blood, as if in battle, he stained his own belt and the sandals on his feet. Do to him what you think is appropriate, but don't let him live long and die a peaceful death. Treat fairly the sons of Barzillai of Gilead and provide for their needs, because they helped me when I had to flee from your brother Absalom. Note well, you still have to contend with Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, who tried to call down upon me a horrible judgment when I went to Manaim. He came down and met me at the Jordan, and I solemnly promised him by the Lord, I will not strike you down with the sword. But now don't treat him as if he were innocent. You are a wise man, and you know how to handle him. Make sure he has a bloody death." Then David passed away and was buried in the city of David. David reigned over Israel 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years, and in Jerusalem 33 years. Solomon sat on his father David's throne, and his royal authority was firmly solidified. Haggith's son Adonijah visited Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. She asked, "Do you come in peace?" He answered, "Yes." He added, "I have something to say to you." She replied, "Speak." He said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel considered me king. Then the kingdom was given to my brother, for the Lord decided it should be his. Now I'd like to ask you for just one thing. Please don't refuse me." She said, "Go ahead and ask." He said, "Please ask King Solomon if he would give me Abishag the Shunammite as a wife, for he won't refuse you." Bathsheba replied, "That's fine, I'll speak to the king on your behalf." So Bathsheba visited King Solomon to speak to him on Adonijah's behalf. The king got up to greet her, bowed to her, and sat on his throne. He ordered a throne to be brought for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. She said, "I would like to ask you for just one small favor. Please don't refuse me." He said, "Go ahead and ask my mother, for I would not refuse you." She said, "Allow Abishag the Shunammite to be given to your brother Adonijah as a wife." King Solomon answered his mother, "Why just request Abishag the Shunammite for him? Since he is my older brother, you should also ask the kingdom for him, for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab son of Zeruiah." King Solomon then swore an oath by the Lord, "May God judge me severely if Adonijah does not pay for this request with his life. Now, as certainly as the Lord lives, he who made me secure, allowed me to sit on my father David's throne, and established a dynasty for me as he promised, Adonijah will be executed today." King Solomon then sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he killed Adonijah. The king then told Abiathar the priest, "Go back to your property in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but today I will not kill you, because you did carry the ark of the sovereign Lord before my father David, and you suffered with my father through all his difficult times." Solomon dismissed Abiathar from his position as priest of the Lord, fulfilling the decree of judgment the Lord made in Shiloh against the family of Eli. When the news reached Joab, for Joab had supported Adonijah, although he had not supported Absalom, he ran to the tent of the Lord and grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. When King Solomon heard that Joab had run to the tent of the Lord and was right there beside the altar, he ordered Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, "Go strike him down." When Benaiah arrived at the tent of the Lord, he said to him, "The king says, come out." But he replied, "No, I will die here." So Benaiah sent word to the king and reported Joab's reply. The king told him, "Do as he said, strike him down and bury him. Take him away from me and from my father's family, the guilt of Joab's murderous bloody deeds. May the Lord punish him for the blood he shed. Behind my father David's back he struck down and murdered with the sword two men who were more innocent and morally upright than he, Abner son of Ner, commander of Israel's army, and Amasa son of Jether, commander of Judah's army. May Joab and his descendants be perpetually guilty of their shed blood, but may the Lord give perpetual peace to David, his descendants, his family, and his dynasty. So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and executed Joab. He was buried at his home in the wilderness. The king appointed Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to take his place at the head of the army, and the king appointed Zadok the priest to take Abiathar's place. Next the king summoned Shimei and told him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, but you may not leave there to go anywhere. If you ever do leave and cross the Kidron Valley, know for sure that you will certainly die. You will be responsible for your own death." Shimei said to the king, "My master the king's proposal is acceptable. Your servant will do as you say." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. 3 years later, two of Shimei's servants ran away to King Achish, son of Maacah of Gath. Shimei was told, "Look, your servants are in Gath." So Shimei got up, saddled his donkey, and went to Achish at Gath to find his servants. Shimei went and brought back his servants from Gath. When Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had then returned, the king summoned Shimei and said to him, "You will recall that I made you take an oath by the Lord, and I solemnly warned you, if you ever leave and go anywhere, know for sure that you will certainly die. You said to me, 'The proposal is acceptable, I agree to it.' Why then have you broken the oath you made before the Lord and disobeyed the order I gave you?" Then the king said to Shimei, "You are well aware of the way you mistreated my father David. The Lord will punish you for what you did, but King Solomon will be empowered and David's dynasty will endure permanently before the Lord." The king then gave the order to Benaiah son of Jehoiada, who went and executed Shimei. So Solomon took firm control of the kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon made an alliance by marriage with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He married Pharaoh's daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he could finish building his residence and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. Now the people were offering sacrifices at the high places, because in those days a temple had not yet been built to honor the Lord. Solomon demonstrated his loyalty to the Lord by following the practices of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for it had the most prominent of the high places. Solomon would offer up 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar there. One night in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said, "Tell me what I should give you." Solomon replied, "You demonstrated great loyalty to your servant, my father David, as he served you faithfully, properly, and sincerely. You have maintained this great loyalty to this day by allowing his son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in my father David's place, even though I am only a young man and am inexperienced. Your servant stands among your chosen people. They are a great nation that is too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning mind so he can make judicial decisions for your people and distinguish right from wrong. Otherwise, no one is able to make judicial decisions for this great nation of yours." The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. God said to him, "Because you asked for the ability to make wise judicial decisions, and not for long life or riches or vengeance on your enemies, I grant your request and give you a wise and discerning mind, superior to that of anyone who has preceded or will succeed you. Furthermore, I am giving you what you did not request, riches and honor, so that you will be the greatest king of your generation. If you follow my instructions by obeying my rules and regulations just as your father David did, then I will grant you long life." Solomon then woke up and realized it was a dream. He went to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, offered up burnt offerings, presented peace offerings, and held a feast for all his servants. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of the women said, "My master, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was with me in the house. Then, 3 days after I had my baby, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one else in the house except the two of us. This woman's child suffocated during the night when she rolled on top of him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was sleeping. She put him in her arms and put her dead son in my arms. I got up in the morning to nurse my son, and there he was, dead. But when I examined him carefully in the morning, I realized it was not my baby." The other woman said, "No, my son is alive. Your son is dead." But the first woman replied, "No, your son is dead. My son is alive." Each presented her case before the king. The king said, "One says, 'My son is alive, your son is dead,' while the other says, 'No, your son is dead, my son is alive.'" The king ordered, "Get me a sword." So they placed a sword before the king. The king then said, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The real mother spoke up to the king, for her motherly instincts were aroused. She said, "My master, give her the living child. Whatever you do, don't kill him." But the other woman said, "Neither one of us will have him. Let them cut him in two." The king responded, "Give the first woman the living child. Don't kill him. She is the mother." When all Israel heard about the judicial decision which the king had rendered, they respected the king, for they realized that he possessed supernatural wisdom to make judicial decisions. 1 Kings chapter 4. King Solomon ruled over all Israel. These were his officials. Azariah son of Zadok was the priest. Eliarhep and Ahijah, the sons of Shisha, wrote down what happened. Jehoshaphat son of Ahilud was in charge of the records. Benaiah son of Jehoiada was commander of the army. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah son of Nathan was supervisor of the district governors. Zabud son of Nathan was a priest and advisor to the king. Ahishar was supervisor of the palace. Adoniram son of Abda was the supervisor of the work crews. Solomon had 12 district governors appointed throughout Israel who acquired supplies for the king and his palace. Each was responsible for 1 month of the year. These were their names. Ben-Hur was in charge of the hill country of Ephraim. Ben-Decher was in charge of Machaz, Shalabim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elon-Beth-Hanan. Ben-Hesed was in charge of Araboth. He controlled Soko and the territory of Hefer. Ben-Abinadab was in charge of Naphath-Dor. He was married to Solomon's daughter, Tophath. Bana, son of Ahilud, was in charge of Tanakh and Megiddo, as well as all of Beth-Shan, next to Zarethan, below Jezreel, from Beth-Shan to Abel-Meholah, and on past Jokmeam. Ben-Geber was in charge of Ramoth-Gilead. He controlled the tent villages of Jair, son of Manasseh, in Gilead, as well as the region of Argob in Bashan, including 60 large walled cities with bronze bars locking their gates. Ahinadab, son of Iddo, was in charge of Mahanaim. Ahimaaz was in charge of Naphtali. He married Solomon's daughter Basemath. Bana, son of Hushai, was in charge of Asher and Eloth. Jehoshaphat, son of Paroah, was in charge of Issachar. Shimei, son of Elah, was in charge of Benjamin. Geber, son of Uri, was in charge of the land of Gilead, the territory which had belonged to King Sihon of the Amorites and to King Og of Bashan. He was sole governor of the area. The people of Judah and Israel were as innumerable as the sand on the seashore. They had plenty to eat and drink and were happy. Solomon ruled all the kingdoms, from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. These kingdoms paid tribute as Solomon's subjects throughout his lifetime. Each day, Solomon's court consumed 30 cores of finely milled flour, 60 cores of cereal, 10 calves fattened in the stall, 20 calves from the pasture, and 100 sheep, not to mention rams, gazelles, deer, and well-fed birds. His royal court was so large because he ruled over all the kingdoms west of the Euphrates River from Tifsa to Gaza. He was at peace with all his neighbors. All the people of Judah and Israel had security. Everyone from Dan to Beersheba enjoyed the produce of their vines and fig trees throughout Solomon's lifetime. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for his chariot horses and 12,000 horses. The district governors acquired supplies for King Solomon and all who ate in his royal palace. Each was responsible for 1 month of the year. They made sure nothing was lacking. Each one also brought to the assigned location his quota of barley and straw for the various horses. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment. The breadth of his understanding was as infinite as the sand on the seashore. Solomon was wiser than all the men of the east and all the sages of Egypt. He was wiser than any man, including Ethan the Ezrahite, or Haman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. He was famous in all the neighboring nations. He composed 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. He produced manuals on botany describing every kind of plant, from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows on walls. He also produced manuals on biology, describing animals, birds, insects, and fish. People from all nations came to hear Solomon's display of wisdom. They came from all the kings of the earth who heard about his wisdom. What an amazing thing it must have been to sit in his presence, huh? And that's just how God is. If you ask with the right heart, He will often grant your prayer and bless you with much more. That's how God always has been with me. God looks at the heart, and He knows the motivation, and it pleases Him to bless His children, just like it pleases us. If you have kids, you know how it is to give fine gifts to your children. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. My name is Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.